Now it says record.
I was commenting before to Mrs. Schooloff that last year I think I got about 20 emails. And I guess we covered it so well because I only got 3 this year. Okay, so I'd like to start first with the things that I guess I didn't cover last year, and basically of the 3 or 4 questions that I got basically had to do with kashering. I don't know how relevant it is to everyone here, but I'm going to discuss what needs kashering, what doesn't kashering, how to do it, how to basically make your kitchen and or utensils kosher for Pesach. The first thing I guess we should discuss is the oven. Okay, in terms of sorry, I lost my voice. You have to excuse me. There's the oven and there's the stove top. In terms of the oven, I see in some of these books that they have different. They tell you to do different things, but I'm just going to tell you what really is halachically mandated. Lalacha, anything that goes the oven and the racks of the oven, they have to be cleaned and they have to be kashered. They have to be. What does it mean to kasher? What it means to kasher is to do what's called libun. Libun means, and the libun that we're talking about is a libun kal. There are 2 types of libun. Libun means making something very hot. Okay, there are 2 types of making something hot. There's one type of making it hot that the shiur that's given is that if you would put kash straw and touch it to the surface of the thing that you're heating up, it would burn. The other shiur is something that becomes white hot, which is even hotter than that. Okay, basically, without using a blowtorch, you're not going to get libun gomer. Okay, however, that's not what's required. What you need is a lesser libun, a lesser heating up. Okay, now, if one has a regular oven that is not a self-cleaning oven, what they have to do is they have to clean any grease stains, or the oven has to be totally cleaned. Okay, generally, it has to be any grease stain that's not coming out. You have to use Easy Off and the like. After that, one can heat up the oven to its highest temperature and run it for 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours. That would be in a regular oven that is not a self-cleaning oven. A self-cleaning oven by nature self-cleans. You don't have to do any of the Easy Off. You put it through a regular self-cleaning cycle. I saw in some books they say you have to do it twice. It's not necessary to do it twice. You could put any racks, you could put any grates that are on top of the oven. Anything in there that can take the heat, put it in the self-cleaning cycle. The self-cleaning cycle runs. You clean it off. It's kosher l'Pesach. Okay, that's all you have to do with a self-cleaning oven. A broiler pan that is not sufficient for. A broiler pan has the food that goes directly on the broiler pan. Any such type of griddle or cooking things, cooking utensil, that would require actual libun, which you would have to use a blowtorch for. Okay, otherwise it has to be cleaned and then blowtorched. Otherwise it's not usable. The area of the broiler pan, if it's not being used, should be certainly taped up, closed up, and first cleaned of any crumbs or the like, and then closed up and not used, marked off, that it should not be used for Pesach. In terms of the self-cleaning oven, there's another aspect to cleaning it, in that the door and the gasket around the door does not get nearly as hot with the self-cleaning. There's a lot of chametz gets in there, a lot of crumbs. If you ever put your challah into the oven or anything like that, the gasket that seals the oven gets very, very dirty. It gets greasy. That has to be cleaned. It should be cleaned with some sort of a bleaching agent. It should be cleaned very, very well. And the door on the inside should be covered, okay? It should be covered with a thick aluminum foil, okay? That's basically for the self-cleaning oven. Excuse me. Now, in terms of the oven top, if a person has a regular gas oven and has the grates on the top, you want to be able to use the grates. You want to be able to cook on top, on the stove top, make coffee, anything you like. Those grates, first of all, can be put into the self-cleaning oven, as I mentioned before, and put it run through the self-cleaning cycle. They're kosher. There's no problem. You don't have to do anything to clean them. That's perfectly fine. If one does not have a self-cleaning oven, or one does not want to use the oven, they're closing their oven up for Pesach. Excuse me. The way to clean the grates, to kosher the grates, is the following. Now, the pans should be clean. They do not have to be kosher. Anything underneath the fire does not really have to be kosher. The fire goes above that. Okay? What has to be kosher is the actual grate. What you should do, what has to happen is the grate has to get hit by the fire. The entire grate has to get hit by the fire. The only way that the heat can transmit to the rest of the fire is either by turning over the grate and putting a blech on top, and that will conduct the heat throughout the grate, and then it's far as kosher with Pesach. First clean it before then do that. Alternatively, you can cover it with silver foil, with a thick silver foil, and turn it over, and that will conduct the heat through the entire grate, and it will be kosher. Now, in recent years, there have been different types of stovetops that we're talking about. We were just talking about a gas stovetop. Now, aside from the grates, the rest of the stovetop, of course, should be cleaned and should be covered with aluminum foil. But what about an electric stovetop? An electric stove, let's say the burners are electric. Many stoves have that. What you have to do there is turn the heat up until it is glowing hot. And when it's glowing hot, that is when it is, that's when it's considered luminous and it's kosher. And again, the rest of the stovetop should be covered. Recently, there have been new innovations. People have glass stovetops on the tops of their stove, where I guess it's electric coils where the burners are and the rest of it is glass, or that's glass there too. On such an oven, the same procedure should be done in terms of the actual, where the grates are, where the cooking is done. The problem is the rest of the stovetop you can't really kosher, because the rest of the stovetop, if you would heat it up, it probably would burn. It would probably break, crack, or shatter if you would use a blowtorch on it. And they also say that you can't really cover it. I think if you cover it with aluminum foil, it would shatter because the heat would break it. So what one should do is clean that very, very well. And excuse me. And any time person, you would have to move a pot to that area. You should put a trivet on the stove to put your pots onto that, to transfer pots and the like. If you have larger pots that are larger than the actual heating element on the stovetop, so this, when you turn the heating element on and you make it and it glows it with heat, that's only koshering that area. Let's say you have a wider pot, okay? So what the Paiskim say is that you should, I don't know if they sell this, I was reading a little bit about it. They have a very thin plate of, metal, an eighth of an inch plate of metal that you can put on that area and put your pot on that, and that would I think it does minimize the heat. It's not such a great option. A few more innovations that makes things a little bit difficult. There are some stovetops that have warming areas where you can warm the food, but that doesn't really get very hot. It doesn't get as hot as So any spills or any or the like on that area, by turning up the flame on that area, or whatever the heating element is, it will not kosher that area. That cannot be used. You have to clean it, and you cannot use that warming area. The same is true for a warming drawer in an oven. A warming drawer in an oven will also have that problem, because it does not get that hot, the area, and so the warming drawer does not get that hot, and therefore it's difficult to kosher. You can't, it's not difficult to do. You would have to use a blowtorch on the inside of it in order to kosher. A few things to point that I wanted to point out, that one thing was asked, baby bottles, nipples, and the like. Does one have to buy new baby bottles and nipples for the bottles? Generally, people clean their bottles and the nipples in chametzdikah kelim, chametzdikah pots, and with other chametzdikah pots. So this is like anything else that we're machmer on Pesach, that we don't use, even though a child is not going to be using boiling hot chametz in their bottle. But we don't use chametzdikah kelim or anything, any kelim that came in contact with chametz, and one should get new nipples and bottles. Somebody asked me another question in terms of tablecloths. Tablecloths, even if you clean them, since your food does come in contact with the tablecloths, one should not use the same tablecloth that they use during the year. In terms of towels, bath towels certainly you could use. Dish towels, even though you clean it many times, since they're around the kitchen, this is a chumrah, but it's a chumrah that one should keep. You should have different dish towels than you have during the year. Somebody brought up a very interesting issue in terms of rings. When they make challah, they prepare food, if they wear their rings, if a woman wears her rings, so certainly you can have chametz on the ring from the food, and that's something that should certainly be cleaned. If a person cooks or bakes challah with their ring, they should clean their rings, and they should pour boiling hot water on the ring to kasher the rings, to use it on Pesach. In terms of, leichter. Somebody asked the question about leichter. What should a person do with leichter? Me'yikur hadin, leichter is not eaten off of. Nobody eats with their leichter. Leichter are placed on the table many times or next to the table. Me'yikur hadin, one is not required to kasher your leichter. You clean the leichter, clean it well. However, many times people, oil gets on the leichter, they want to wash their leichter off, they want to clean it in the sink. The halacha is that something that potentially did have chametz spill on it, so if you're going to put that in a kashul of Pesach sink, let's say on Pesach itself, you would want to clean your leichter. You should not put that in a kashul of Pesach sink to clean it, because you there might be some bleed, some absorptions of chametz in the leichter. I personally, machmer in my house, we clean the leichter and we also kasher. We pour boiling hot water on it. It's called irui rice, and we pour boiling hot water on that. The question was asked about granite countertops and stainless steel sinks in terms of being able to kasher them. So, firstly, in terms of countertops, certainly formica countertops cannot be kasher. Okay? They have to be covered with a thick covering. They have to be cleaned and covered with a thick covering. Granite countertops, smooth granite countertops, which I'm sure I don't think anybody has rough granite countertops, but the smooth polished granite countertops can be kasher. The way they have to be kasher, it's not as simple as you might think. First of all, they have to be cleaned well. After they're cleaned, you have to pour for boiling hot water. The water has to come from a pot that is boiling on the oven. It has to be boiling hot water. And water has to be poured on the countertop. But it's not enough. I'll give you an example. If I want to cover this area here, I can't just pour water here and have the water spread out. Every area of that countertop has to be hit by direct water. So whatever the spout lets out, that stream of water that comes directly out, that's kosher. Then you have to go the next spot. It's a little bit tedious, but that's the only way to do it. Otherwise, what's happening is the water is coming from what's called a klirishon, which is on the stove, and it's boiling. Once it hits the countertop, when it spreads, it's no longer considered as if it's coming out of the pot. It's like a secondary movement, so therefore that would not be. So it has to be, every spot has to be hit. The same thing is true with a stainless steel sink. A stainless steel sink can be kashered. There is one, before one kashers it, you have to know one thing. The sink cannot be used for 24 hours with hot water. Hot water cannot be used in that sink for 24 hours before you kasher it. So there has to be a moratorium on hot water. The best idea, especially if you have kids in the house, you should shut off the valve underneath the sink for hot water, so no hot water could be used in the sink. And I can. Yeah. So hot water you can use. So shutting off that hot water, and then taking the hot water off the stove again, and pouring it on every single spot of the. With boiling hot water from the stove on every single part of the sink, and also on the spout of the sink where the water comes out of, that should be poured onto that. The handles, of course, should be covered. The bottom, again, the sink should be cleaned first. It seems before the 24 hours, the sink should be cleaned very well, especially the drain of the sink. Many times there's a collection of grease. It should be cleaned very, very well, not used for 24 hours, and then pour boiling hot water on it. The same is true for if you have an instant hot spout on the sink and something like that. Again, don't use that. Clean it well. Don't use it for 24 hours, and then you can do it with Iroi Roiskin, pouring the hot water on it. So that's granite countertops, that's stainless steel sinks. Porcelain sinks, enamel sinks, the regular, those types of sinks cannot be kashered. Okay, you would have to do what we discussed in terms of the spout of the sink. You shouldn't use it with hot water for 24 hours. It should be clean before that, and then you should pour boiling hot water on top of the spout and get some sort of an insert sink with its own drain and everything, and that's how one would kasher the sink. Okay. And is there any, are there any questions about just kashering things in the kitchen or the like? If the handles can be the same thing, as long as you clean it and you pour the water, that's fine. The handles are stainless steel. A lot of times the stainless steel handles will have plastic stuff on top of it, though, like with some of them do. I think we have our own four, 60 things, cold and hot, the cold and hot.
But the spout also doesn't have a lot of water.
What do you mean?
The inside of the spout, there is a problem.
The inside of the spout. You mean like a gasket on the inside?
It's like a washer. Yeah, like
a washer in the I think that's like a washer. Let's say a rubber washer.
Okay.
It's inside the. It's inside the. It's inside the. So that's something that rubber uses. You really can't kasher. So it's something you should change. It. They have those. It's like a. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That should be changed. It's underneath the aerator of the spout. Okay. So, I think we've covered that. Oh, there's one more thing I wanted to mention. People might not realize that many stoves have hoods, almost all of them have a hood on the stove with an exhaust fan. Okay. That is an area of a tremendous amount of collection of grease and could be even food particles, especially if you have a fan because it sucks the stuff up. When you cook on your stove top, a lot of the grease goes up and goes into the hood on top of the oven. That should be cleaned very thoroughly, very with an astringent, very, very well. And preferably, it should be covered with very thick aluminum foil underneath the hood so that the anything that's up there should not come down, because many times what happens is the steam from what you're cooking goes up and brings it down. And that's probably the one place that there is the greatest chash that a person could eat chametz. Everything else we've been talking about is a bliya, is something, an absorption from a pot, from this, from that. You know, this could be actual chametz going into your food on Pesach, and that's something that if it goes into your food on Pesach, it wouldn't be bottled, and the person would be over. Okay. I wanted to discuss something I discussed last year. But I did want to discuss the idea of medicines and toiletries and cosmetics on Pesach. Now, there are many books with many lists of different cosmetics that can be used and should not, and cannot be used. I shouldn't say cannot be used, but should not be used. And medicines. So I'd just like to give a little bit of a background. I spoke about this a little bit last year. I'd first like to give you just a little bit of a background of where it comes from and when it's applicable, when it's not applicable. The halacha is the following. Anything that is chametz, that becomes nifsal me'achilas kelev, which means that a dog, it's not fit for a dog to eat, does not have a din of chametz. It's not chametz. It's one, if it reaches that status, where it cannot be eaten by a dog before Pesach, before the time of the Isser on Erev Pesach, that is not chametz that you're over any Isser on. It's not chametz that you're over by your rabbi, Yimatzah, for having it in your possession. There's no such problem. Now, this most toiletries and cosmetics, any chametz that's in them is clearly not roi l'achilas kelev. Okay, a dog cannot and is not going to eat. Is not going to eat deodorant. Is not going to eat soap. Is not going to eat Windex. Is not going to eat any of these things. So, where does this all come from? That we have a problem with perfume, or any type of makeup or any such thing. So, the chumrah comes from the following. It was actually historically. They used to sell, transport beer, import and export beer and whiskey. And what happened was the goyim used to, when they were transported, the goyim used to drink it. So what they did was they put poison in it. And they were able to extract the poison afterwards when they got it to be able to sell it. So the shaila came about, it's not roy for achilas kelah because there's poison in the schnapps and the beer. So one of the Paiskim, the Shaila Meshev, his name was, held that since it was possible to extract the poison and recreate the make it Royal Achilles Kelev, so therefore one was not allowed to do that. One was not allowed to, one would be over on Pesach with such chavos. This is one of the chumras, and many Paiskim are very concerned with this. So there are many cosmetics that have denatured alcohol that if they would be extracted from the cosmetics, they could be edible, they would be possible, they would be Royal Achilles Kelev. Is this the dominant opinion? Absolutely not. The dominant opinion is that this is not chametz. Okay? That is one issue. The other issue is the following. Even if something is not Royal Achilles Kelev, let's say I eat it. I want to eat it. It's not Royal Achilles Kelev. That's something called achshaveh. I made it chashev. I made it into chametz. Therefore, in such a situation, there are those that want to say, even though this is not Royal Achilles Kelev, but I'm using it. I'm using it. I'm spraying. I'm using it as deodorant. I'm using it as cologne. I'm using it as perfume. Therefore, there's a problem. That's another issue. Another issue, a third issue, is that it could be that using something, you know, since this initially, I'll just give you one more, there are about five other reasons, but since initially this was made as a cosmetic, this was not made to be eaten, therefore it doesn't fall under the status of having a problem of nifsal me'achilas kelev. Therefore it retains its identity as chametz. This is not, okay, this is not la halacha, I'm telling you, la halacha, you're not over anything if you have it's not a problem, me'ikar hadin, of keeping cosmetics, of keeping anything that's not Royal Achilles Kelev. There are things that are cosmetics that are Royal Achilles Kelev. For example, I think I mentioned this last year, there's a chickenpox medication, that a vino bath that's made of, that has actual oatmeal in it. I believe that that oatmeal is Royal Achilles Kelev, the dog could eat it. It has some other things in it, but really, it's actual oatmeal. That's something that has to be sold with the chametz or destroyed. Okay, again, even if it's nifsal and me'achilas kelev, you really don't have to sell it. You don't have any real issue. Not using it is a fine chumra not to use it. Now, if I had a choice, and I mentioned this last year, if I had a choice to go through my medicine cabinet and to be very, very careful about what cosmetic I use, or I had a choice, even if I was going away for Pesach, of actually cleaning my kitchen and doing a real job, I think the chinuch involved in cleaning up your house and that's something that's really has much more basis than this. So in terms of cosmetics and toiletries, it's a fine chumra to keep. Many people are knowing this. It's a very nice thing. But me'ikar hadin, it's not something that has to be, that is, if it's not Royal Achilles Kelev, that a person has to place a tremendous amount of emphasis, if they can place that emphasis on other parts of Pesach, which we're going to discuss in terms of cleaning and being vaidik v'chametz. What becomes much more problematic is things that are ingested, things that you actually eat, okay? Medication, liquid medication, different types of medications. This already has a much, much, much stronger basis, because over here I'm actually ingesting it, okay? I'm actually ingesting it, and that would create this achshavei. Even though it might not be Royal Achilles Kelev, but my eating it and my desiring to eat it creates that it has a worth that makes it into chametz, that keeps its identity as chametz. Now, there are three different categories of people that we can discuss in terms of medication. There is a chayla sheyesh by sakana. A chayla sheyesh by sakana is someone who is sick and is considered that they have they have a sickness that they're considered that they are in sakana. That includes a woman who is within 7 days of childbirth. That includes someone with a heart condition, diabetes, someone, an older person with flu or cold, a person with any infection except for a skin infection. Any infection, if a person is on antibiotics and they have strep, okay, that is a chayla sheyesh bei sakana. Anytime a person has an infection or that's not superficial, like an acne or something like that, that is something that is considered a chayla sheyesh bei sakana. You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for such a person. Okay? La halacha, if you can't find an equal substitute, person is allowed to use not only a caplet, not only a tablet, but even liquid medication that contains chametz. Okay, if it's roila, if it's not roila, chilas kelev. If it's something, if the chametz is, in most cases, that's the case. Okay, that is a chayla sheyesh by sakana. What about a chayla she'ein by sakana? A chayla she'ein by sakana is any child that's sick, above the age of six, any child that a person with arthritis, someone with chronic migraine, someone with a back issue, with back pains, that they're bedridden, and the like. Okay, that's a chayla she'ein bei sakana. It's a person who's sick. There's no imminent sakana to them. There's no sakana, not imminent, but foreseeable sakana to them. Those people, A, they can take, if there's no reasonable substitute, they can take caplets or tablets that even contain chametz if they don't have a substitute. Liquid or chewable should not be taken. That's the difference between a chayla she'ein bei sakana and a chayla she'ein bei sakana. However, if you look at the list, anything that contains kidneys, okay, kidneys is not chametz. Kidneys does not have to be sold. Kidneys is anything like corn or anything with cornstarch or rice or the like. Those things, A, do not have to be sold in the chametz. And even a chayla she'ein by sakana can take any medication and ingest it the regular way with kidneys. Okay? The only difference over here we're talking about is if you can't find a substitute for a liquid or a chewable, okay, you have to use the next best thing. On a chayla she'ein by sakana. Chayla she'yesh by sakana, okay, you can use even a liquid and a chewable if they can't find a substitute. Then there's someone who is just not feeling so well. Someone has a headache. That's someone with a michush ba'alma, just a basic, not feeling so well. That person should not, okay, use anything that has any chametz in it. Even kidneys should be used, should be eaten in a, not the derech, should try not to eat in anything that has kidneys in it. In terms of kidneys, just as I mentioned, in terms of making bottles, we discussed the bottles. Many people have soy products, soy-based formula. Soy-based formula is not a problem. If a child has that soy, is used to soy-based formula, soy is certainly kidneys. There's nothing wrong with feeding a baby kidneys. A baby has a din of a chayla sheyesh bei sakana, so there's no problem. It should not be prepared in the kitchen. Just prepare that in the bathroom, and it's not a problem. Okay. I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean by regular formula. Well, you have to look. You should. Some of them could have chametz in it. So you should have to check it up on a list.
You have to change it?
What do you mean?
You
should change it. Yes. Try to change it. You should definitely try to change it. 100%. You have one that has actual chametz in it?
No, I don't.
I would doubt it. Because you should get a new one. I'm sure they have. I don't think it is. Similac is soy based. It's not. Similac is milk. Isomil is soy based. Isomil is soy based. Okay. If you want, I have a list. It's not a problem. I can check it out for you. Right. Okay. Okay. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is perhaps might be more of a hashkafa idea than. Certainly, I'm going to talk about the halachas. But if you open up a newspaper, you find that there's probably no exotic location on the globe that you can't find the Kashrut Pesach program. that you can't find, that you can't go to and have everything taken care of you and a seder and your shiurim day trips and play groups for the children. You can do whatever, go wherever you want. And Pesach is easy. Pesach is not meant to be hard. But Pesach is meant to be, there's a physical cleaning and there's something that we call a metaphysical cleaning. There's a hashkafa in Pesach in that once a year we try to clean up our lives a little bit and we try to clean up our homes. And again, this has nothing to do with dirt, by the way. We don't clean up our home. We're not cleaning up our homes. It's not spring cleaning. This I have to mention for the husbands because they always ask me to tell the wives that there's no, that Pesach has nothing to do with getting rid of old clothing and doing spring cleaning and making sure that the windows are clean and the attic is in order and the garage, everything is in proper order. That's not what Pesach is about. Pesach is about getting rid of chametz and cleaning the house from chametz. Now, in terms of going away, me'ikar hadin lehalacha, a person can sell their entire house, have chametz gomer in the house, if that's the minute to sell chametz gomer, go away to a hotel, and not be over any isurim on Pesach. But that's the letter of the law. And the spirit of the law, it's certainly something we have to teach ourselves, and certainly something we have to teach our children, is that Pesach is about cleaning up a little bit. It's about making sure that our homes are in order. The spirituality in our homes are in order. And, excuse me, even if a person is going away for Pesach, and they plan on not coming back to their house on Pesach at all, they should do cleaning in their house, and they should do a bedikah. Now, I'm going to go through a little bit of the halachas of that, and talk about every single, pretty much almost every scenario that a person can have when they're going away for Pesach. So we'll talk about the first scenario first, the one we mentioned. Person's going away for Pesach. They're selling their whole house. They're going to a hotel. La halacha, not a problem. There is one thing. A person is mechuyev to do a bedikah. In other words, and not only is he mechuyev to do a bedikah, certainly children, we don't want them to think that Pesach has nothing to do. You know, we go to a hotel and the mashkiach already went around and he cleaned up and he did a bedikah for everyone. And we don't have to do a bedikah. So let's talk about the scenario where a person is leaving his house and leaving their house before Pesach, a few days before Pesach. They will not be home the night of the bedikah. Okay. So, and they, let's say they're going to a hotel. If that's the case, they can sell their whole house to the guy. And when they go to get to the hotel, the night of the bedikah, they should bring chametz into the room. They should put out 10 pieces of chametz in the room. Days before, they should bring chametz in the room, so it should be a place that chametz is brought into. And they can make a bedikah with a bracha. Okay? They can make a bracha in a hotel room. This is also true if a person goes to a hotel on Chol HaMoed. If you go away on Chol HaMoed and you rent a hotel room, that's like renting an apartment. Okay? Person has to make a bedikah. 2 years ago, I think I told the story last year, 2 years ago, we went to a hotel in Camden, New Jersey, and I made a bedikah with a bracha, with a candle, and we found the Chinese fortune cookie under the bed. True story. That's my fortune cookie, because I rented the room. It's our room. Anyway, that is the halacha. Okay, now, if I were to tell you what I think a person should do in that scenario, I think they should clean a part of the house too. Now the halacha is, even if you leave your house before the night of the bedikah, within 30 days of Pesach, you're mechuyev to make a bedikah. So if you're selling your house, perhaps you don't really have to make a bedikah, but you can make a bedikah without a bracha, and that's something that I think is something that stays with the children. It's something that is something that's important hashkafically to give over. Now, that's scenario A. Scenario B, person is leaving their house the day of Pesach, Erev Pesach. You're leaving, you're going away Erev Pesach. So you're there the night of the bedikah. but you really don't want to clean the house. You're going away, you're going to be leaving, you're going to your parents, your in-laws, or a hotel. Okay? So what does one do in that scenario? In that scenario, okay, first of all, you should clean your house. Clean the house, clean all the areas that chametz goes into, and make a regular batikas chametz. Okay. Now, if that's too difficult, and there are areas that are very, very difficult, the wash of the kitchen, a person can close off that area, that part of the house, sell that part of the house to the guy, even before. Okay, I actually make two mechiras. I make a mechira. I sell the chametz to the guy for some people, the day prior to the actual bedikas chametz, so that anything you sell then you don't have to check. Okay? And then I sell it again the next day. I sell for other people the next day. That's something that can be done. Now, that's in this scenario, if it's too difficult for a person to clean their entire house and they're going away, let's say, the next day, what one should do is the following. Clean one area of the house. Make sure it's chametz-free. Bring your 10 pieces of chametz there. Make your bedikah there, okay? And then you take away the responsibility of you fulfill the responsibility of actually making the bedikah. Then, the chametz will be sold the next day. Now, what happens if a person is going away for Pesach, but they want to sleep in their house? Okay, they want to sleep in the house. This is much more problematic because what we do when we sell the chametz, we don't only sell the chametz; we sell all the areas that the chametz are in. So, if a person's selling his whole house, they don't want to clean their whole house. So, what they're doing is, you actually sold your house. You sold the chametz in your house. You rent the place of the house to the guy. Now you're going into his house. That sort of makes the sale a little bit of a joke. And we don't want the sale to be a joke. The sale has to be a very real sale because we're talking about being ivory surim. So the guy has to really own the chametz. So we can't make a joke out of it. You're walking in and going in and out could be perceived as not being a real sale. We do ask rishus from the guy. It is not preferable, okay, to be sleeping there where that area is being sold. In such a situation, any area that you're going to be using, that the living room, the dining room, going into the bedrooms, those all should be cleaned and be checked. If you're not going to be using your kitchen, the kitchen should be closed off. The counter should have clear markings on it, not to use it. It's chametz. The refrigerator should be closed. Should be marked, all the countertops, the cabinets, the oven, all those areas should be clearly marked. Because there's a chash. We're worried that a person's going to be in their house. They're going to go and they're going to use that area, use their pots, use their countertop, whatever it is. Okay, so if a person is actually staying in the house but not eating in the house, that's what one should do. If someone is going away for the entire Pesach and they want to be able to go in and get mail or get clothing or the like, that is something that we do ask rishus for, and that is okay. But again, it's preferable not to try to make a joke out of it. So in summation, let's go through all the possibilities. If a person is going away the entire Pesach, okay, and they want to, and they don't want to make any batikah now, so they don't want to clean their house, they should preferably be out of the house before the night of the batikah, and the chametz should have been sold already. If they're going away the next day, okay, they should make a batikah in their home. If it's too difficult to make a batikah in the entire part of their home, they should make a batikah in certainly a small part of the home and make sure that there's no chametz there and make a batikah with a bracha. If a person wants to sell the house and sleep in the house, they should really make a batikah in all those areas and close off any other areas that they're not going to be able to sell, and clearly delineate and make markings that they should not be used. Again, the idea is that we have to tell ourselves, we have to realize that Pesach is not there to be arduous and difficult, but it's there also, it's there to give us a little bit of a message that in just like we're cleaning our homes, we have to look at every aspect of our lives. We have to look at things we bring into our homes, not just the physical chametz, but books, magazines, newspapers, all forms of media that we bring into that people bring into their home, things that can be considered chametz on a spiritual level, and that's something that we should be cleaning up, cleansing from ourselves. And while we clean, while we clean the actual physical chametz, that's something that we have to be telling ourselves. So that's why I think and I feel that it's important, even when a person is going away, they should do, there should be an idea, an semblance, and an aura in the home of cleaning, of making sure that that there's no chametz that's visible, that's around, that's something that we're making sure that our homes are clean from not only physical chametz but metaphysical chametz. That's that idea. Okay, I guess if anybody has any questions, I okay. All right.